Due to our association with matter from time immemorial, our consciousness is now adulterated by the material atmosphere. The material atmosphere in which we are now living is called Maya, or illusion. Maya means that which is not. And what is this illusion? The illusion is that we are all trying to be lords of material nature, while actually we are under the grip of her stringent laws. When a servant artificially tries to imitate the all-powerful master, he is said to be an illusion. We are trying to exploit the resources of material nature, but actually we are becoming more and more entangled in her complexities. Therefore, although we are engaged in a hard struggle to conquer nature, we are ever more dependent on her. This illusory struggle against material nature can be stopped at once by revival of our eternal Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, is the transcendental process for reviving this original pure consciousness. By chanting this transcendental vibration, we can cleanse away all misgivings within our hearts. The basic principle of all such misgivings is the false consciousness that I am the Lord of all I survey. Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition on the mind. This consciousness is the original, natural energy of the living entity. When we hear this transcendental vibration, this consciousness is revived. This simplest method of meditation is recommended for this age. No other means of spiritual realization is as effective in this age of quarrel and hypocrisy as the chanting of the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Okay, can we run that? So we are going to explore the glories of the holy name through this poem, this Kevalashtaka. Some of you may have heard the Kevalashtaka, the 8 verses about the holy name, ending in the famous line, Hare Naam Eva Kevalam. So we're going to dispense with the Sanskrit, and if you'll join me, we're going to sing the English. If you like, you can just come in on the chorus line, which is, the holy name of Shri Hari is surely all that be. And then we'll go through each verse and explore the meaning of it. Okay? Can we go? There we go. Is that, you can't run the whole thing? Just like F5? Try F5. We'll just try, there you go. Okay. Next. The space bar. That's it. Okay, very good. There we go. All right, do we have cartels? Oh, I got them. Thank you. A little space. My favorite note. Of sweet things, it's the sweetest you will taste at any time. Of things that bring good fortune, it's the perfect paradigm. Of things that purify, it purifies most powerfully. The holy name of Shri Hari is surely all that be. The holy name of Shri Hari is surely all that be. From Brahma's realm atop the sky down to the lowly grass, illusion reigns in Maya Devi's treacherous morass. The truth, the only truth, the name of Shri Hari. The holy name of Shri Hari is surely all that be. The holy name of Shri Hari is surely all that be. He's the guru, he's the father, he's the friend most true. And she's the real mother who most kindly teaches you to always chant and hear the holy name of Shri Hari. The holy name of Shri Hari is surely all that be. The holy name of Shri Hari is surely all that be. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. Remember that our final breath may come at any time, no matter if we're old and sick or in our youthful prime. So young and old, our life should chant the name incessantly. The holy name of Shri Hari is surely all that be. The holy name of
Hare Hare, surely all have been. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. Lord Shri Hari forever dwells where ever devotees, whose hearts are fixed on him and free of all impurities, uplift their voices high and sing his name in ecstasy. The holy name of Shri Hari is surely all that be. The holy name of Shri Hari is surely all that be. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Alas, what sorrow, what great pain, her worst calamity, for people to forget the holy name of Shri Hari. Although the name's a priceless gem, mere broken glass they see, the holy name of Shri Hari is surely all that be. Shri Hari is surely all that be. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Just fill your ears, just fill them with the name of Shri Hari. Just chant the name with all sincerity. Just sing the holy name eternally. The holy name of Shri Hari is surely all that be. Holy name of Shri Hari is surely all that be. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Na Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. It makes this world appear like bits of straw upon the ground. Resplendently it reigns supreme divinity and sound. It's filled with transcendental bliss and peerless purity. The holy name of Shri Hari is surely all that be. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada.
Okay, we're kind of short of time, so I cut it a little short. That last one was written by me. Inspired to glorify the holy name of Shri Hari, a certain sage composed this hymn in Sanskrit poetry. I pray that those who read this lowly version made by me will chant the holy name of Shri Hari in ecstasy. So this is my prayer. This is an anonymous poem. We don't know who wrote it, so that's why I put it. So let's go back to the first one, and we're going to explore this wonderful poem. Of sweet things, it's the sweetest you will taste at any time. Of things that bring good fortune, it's the perfect paradigm. Of things that purify, it purifies most powerfully. The holy name of Shri Hari is surely all that be. So, as far as being sweet, now we know from the Nectar of Instruction, text 7, Sat Krishna Nama Chadidari Satapya Vidya Pitto Patapara Sarasenarodi Kanu, that the holy name form qualities of Krishna are sweet as anything. But in our present condition of ignorance, we don't taste it as sweet. It tastes very bitter. It's almost like we have jaundice. And in jaundice, sugar tastes bitter, but the cure for jaundice is sugar candy, right? So similarly, our material disease means that everything that's material sense gratification, we think is very sweet. But actually, it has a bitter, bitter aftertaste, namely birth, death, old age, and disease, and keeps you bound here to the material world. But the holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna are really the sweetest that can be. And if we develop our taste by the process of devotional service, then we can taste the sweetness of the holy name, and all of the material things will go by the wayside, just like in the little play we saw. So one verse that's very very pertinent to this is this verse by Rupa Goswami near the beginning of his Vidugdha Madhava. If you read Anchalila chapter 1, you'll find this verse quoted several times. Tunde tandavani ting batanute tundavali labdeye karna krodha kadhambani gatayate karnabude vyakspiham chetak prangana sangani vijayate savindriyanam kutim no jane janitake yadvinamitai krishneti vanabhi. So this is how he's tasting the holy name and how Lord Chaitanya and his associates are tasting. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. When that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert. And he also says in this verse, Madanam mangalebhyopi mangalam, most auspicious. What is auspiciousness? Auspicious is when our good fortune is brought to bear. We achieve great blessing. And that is right in the middle of the first verse of the Shikshastika, where Lord Chaitanya Cheto Dharpana Marjanam Bhava Mahadavagni Devapanam Shreya Kaitava Chandrika Vatadanam Vidyavatu Jivanam. So the Shreya Kaitava Chandrika, the congregational chanting of the holy name of Krishna, is spreading the rays of the benediction moon, or it's like the moon that causes the white lotus of good fortune to unfurl. This is Srila Prabhupada's translation in the Anchalila. So this is where our good fortune begins, by taking part in the Sankirtan movement, the congregational chanting, and spreading it to as far and wide as we can. And this is how we've all come to be sitting here, because someone taught us the holy name and we entered into the chanting and we're getting purified. So that's the first verse. As far as purification goes, that's also there in the Shikshastika, the first verse, the most purifying. Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. The next verse is, from Brahma's realm atop the sky down to the lowly grass, illusion reigns in Maya Devi's treacherous morass. The truth, the only truth, the name of Sri Hari, the holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that breathe. So what comes to mind, for those of you who are familiar with 8th chapter of Gita, Ah Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartanojana, that from Brahma's, all the way up to Brahma's realm, down to Patala Loka, this is a world of return, meaning that no matter what you do, you may rise up very high to the heavenly planets, but you still have to come down again. So there's nothing permanent in this world. So the holy name, so Maya Devi's realm is very treacherous, meaning that we think that we are on safe ground, like in a swamp or in a morass. You think that you're safe, but then you sink down and you perish, isn't it? And this realm is just like that. It's full of all kinds of assurances that we can have security here, right? Yoga and kshema. Yoga means the things that we need to live. Kshema means security, the safe place. But neither of those is really available in this world. It may seem like that for some time, but eventually everything is taken away and we're cast into the waters of birth and death. And we're adrift and dangerous. So that's what the first line means. But satyam, satyam, punak, satyam, harinam, avakebhu. That the real truth is Krishna. Krishna is the absolute truth. He's the boat. His lotus feet are the boat that can take us across this water. So the holy name of Krishna is non-different from Krishna. And that's, Srila Prabhupada gave us this wonderful verse. It's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddho Nityamukto Abhinatvan Namanamino. We'll visit this verse several more times. So that Abhinatvan Namanamino means that there's no separation, there's no difference between the holy name and Krishna himself. This is inconceivable in our conditioned state. But Srila Prabhupada has said, when we realize that, then we're pure devotees. Then we're actually advanced. But we should at least understand theoretically. That means we can take shelter of the holy name in our conditioned state, and really we're taking shelter of Krishna, who is the only real security in this vast ocean of birth and death. So that's the second verse. The third one, he's the guru, he's the father, he's the friend most true, and she's the real mother who most kindly teaches you to always chant and hear the holy name of Sri Hari, The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. So who is the real guru? In the 11th canto, Srila Prabhupada would quote this verse many, many times. Tasmat gurum papadeta jigyasu shreya uttamam shabde parecha nishnatam brahman nupasamashriyam. So in this lesson, this is one of the 9 yogendras speaking, and they have each one of them has their own little series of verses giving a lesson. So the first few verses of this section, he's proving how there's no real happiness in this material world, either on the earth or in the heavenly planets. And then he says, therefore, tasmat, if you want the ultimate good, shreya, you must approach a guru, a real spiritual master. Then he defines who that is. Shabde pare cha nishnatam brahman upashamashayam. So shabde and pare, in kind of a code form, are two aspects of brahman, brahmani, the absolute truth. Shabde is the scripture, and pare means the supreme personality of God. So one who is fixed, completely familiar, that has that quality of acharya. Acharya means 3 things. Completely conversant with the revealed scripture, follows strictly, without deviation, and teaches. Those 3 things. So that's the qualifications of a real spiritual master. And nishnatam means fixed in those 2, and upashamashrim, completely free of material contamination or desire. So such a spiritual master can actually give us instruction, can impart faith, and teach us how to achieve the ultimate good. The ultimate good, very simply put, is that situation where our happiness is ever expanding and deep, and there's not a tinge of misery. In other words, that's unavailable in the material world. That's the spiritual world. So he's the real guru who teaches you to chant the holy name. In other words, who gives you Krishna, gives you the essential instruction to chant the holy name. And as far as the pita, the mata, the friend, the father and the mother and the friend, these are all mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna identifies. Sudadam sarva bhutanam. Prabhupada would point out the different kinds of friends. You know, there's bandhu, there's sakha, there's mitra. Just like in English, you have the acquaintance, you have your bosom buddy, right? And you have your, you know, whatever, just friend. So the surid, Prabhupada defines, is someone who's always thinking of your welfare. Where can you find that in this world? We may have close friends, but then we grow apart, or we have a quarrel, or we grow away, you know. But Krishna is always with us. He's always thinking of our welfare. He's within our heart. So that means that when someone is really a friend, they introduce you to your ultimate friend. In other words, Krishna. We can be the best friends of everyone that we meet by giving them Krishna. By trying to be individual friends, we fail, you know. So as far as the pita and the mata, Krishna says, "I am the pita and mata, mata datta patamaha." In the ninth chapter, he's saying, "I am the ultimate father of all, aham bija padakrita, and I am the maintainer, the mata." Of course, the material energy is often thought to mata. Where does she come from? She comes from Krishna. So when we are absorbed in chanting the holy name, we take shelter of the holy name, we find nourishment, we find protection, we find our best friend, and we find all good fortune. That's the idea here. And they teach you to always chant the holy name. Now this next one for me, and all of these ashtakas, I'm familiar with so many, there's always one that stands out, one verse. This is the verse that stands out for me. Remember that our final breath may come at any time, no matter if we're old and sick, or in our youthful prime. So young and old alike should chant the name incessantly, the holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that. So this is so much of Srila Prabhupada's preaching was trying to convince us about birth, death, old age, and disease, that life is like a little drop of water on a lotus leaf, right? We don't have any assurance. Therefore, we have to be serious, and we have to strive as hard as we can now to be Krishna conscious. And he would often quote this verse, which is one of my favorites from the 11th canto, the Uruva Gita. Labdvasu durlama midambaho sambhavante manushyam artadama nityama piya dhira turnam yateta napatet anumrityu yavat niksheya saya vishayakara sarvataksyad. Here's that word shreya again. It comes up again and again. It's our ultimate good. In this case, there's no doubt about it. Niksheya means ultimate good. So this is a translation. After many, many births and deaths, one achieves the rare human form of life, which, although temporary, affords one the opportunity to attain the highest perfection, unlike any other form. Thus, a sober human being should quickly endeavor for the ultimate perfection of life as long as his body, which is always subject to death, has not fallen down and died. After all, sense gratification is available even in the most abominable species of life, whereas Krishna consciousness is possible only for a human being. So this is our call to get serious, you know. The time is ticking. I was thinking, well, what should I, you know, what topic should I speak on? And I think one of the things that as you get older becomes more, is time, you know. There's actually a word for it. I forget what it is. There's a word for the sense of time speeding up. And anyone who gets older, as you get a little older, says, well, what's happening here? Am I rolling down a hill or what? It was just yesterday. It was January 1st. And it wasn't this 2015 began? Now it's already the end of April? What's going on here? So it just happens like that. And you can see your life, the whole span of your life. And you can see how urgent it is. How many days and months or weeks or even minutes do we have left? You know. So in that sense, getting old is a blessing. Right? All right, Baruch? I heard how much you appreciate it. So it is a blessing if you're Krishna conscious. Otherwise, it's a horror. You know, everything is being taken away. Just like these kids they were old, right? If you're about to die, you're really old. So they were thinking, oh no, I can't lose all this. So Krishna consciousness produces naturally that detachment from the material things. So this is a very, very nice verse, and this is a beautiful expression here. No matter if we're old or young, just like Prahlad said, you know, who knows? We may be 6 years old, but we may be very old, you know, in terms of our lifespan. So from childhood, or from the time of understanding its importance, as Prabhupada said, one should strive as hard as possible to take shelter of the holy name. And then here's a verse that immediately called to mind another verse that Prabhupada would quote. Lord Sri Hari forever dwells wherever devotees whose hearts are fixed on him and free of all impurities uplift their voices high and sing his name in ecstasy. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. And Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse. It's in the CC also, where Krishna is speaking to Narada. Naham tishtami vaikunte yoginam hridayeshu va yatra gayanti madbhakta tatra tishtami Narada. O Narada, I'm not in Vaikuntha, nor am I in the hearts of the yogis. I remain where my devotees glorify my name, form, qualities, and transcendental pastimes. So this sound vibration, this is our shelter, the holy name and everything that follows from it. This is really how Krishna is present we can feel his presence in our lives. Of course, the holy name is the basis. But there's also, it's very important to have a temple like this. We can see, what would we do without this temple? This be an open field. Would any of us be sitting here? We come, beautiful deities, what darshan. You know, I come here twice a year, and I'm always blown away by this wonderful darshan of Radha Shyamasundara, Krishna Balaram, Gornatai. You're so fortunate, you know, the flowers, the happiness of the flowers, you know. And we don't have that where I am so much. Anyway. But really, we can take outside of the temple, wherever we are, Krishna's presence by chanting his holy, remembering his holy name. And so that's why this verse is so important. Hari Sadava said, Krishna stays where his sincere glorification is taking place. And that's like when Prabhupada came, he was a moving tirtha. Wherever he was, there was Krishna. In the form of his pure devotee, the glorification of the holy name, and the impartation of the faith which expanded the chanting. And now all over this world, there are tirthas. There are places where you can go and find devotees and raise your voices and chant the holy name and bring the presence of Krishna. So then comes the lament, right? Alas, what sorrow, what great pain, the worst calamity for people to forget the holy name of Sri Hari. Although the name's a priceless gem, mere broken glass they see. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. So this is the stress. Just like Prahlad. Prabhupada said Prahlad Maharaj, was simultaneously blissful and in anxiety. Right? He says, Naivod Vijay Paradurat Jedavaitaranyas. That I am not have no problem, because I'm already across the ocean of birth and death, and wherever I am, I can sing your glories and immerse myself in an ocean of nectar. But I am lamenting. Those who are bearing, and I couldn't help think of this verse when I was seeing this play. The great burden of trying to succeed in the enterprise of enjoying your senses and trying to maintain that. Sometimes the embodied soul is called a dehabrita. Dehabrita. Dehabrita means you're bearing a burden of a body. Doesn't it feel like that sometimes? Oh, every day. And as you get older, more and more, right? Oh, God, you can drag this body out of bed, you know? And it's just like that. We don't belong in these material bodies. It's a huge burden. So Prahlad says, I am lamenting for those who have turned away from you and trying to enjoy the flickering illusory happiness, maya sukhaya, of this material world. So why is he lamenting? Because he feels sympathy and empathy. These are his God brothers and God sisters. He's seeing that, you know, they've forgotten you. So therefore, he takes the trouble. I'm going to stay in the cities. I'm going to take the trouble to try to give Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada would quote a verse pertinent to this. There's a lecture I heard. He says, this is a very important verse. You should all learn this verse. He's telling his students. Ashitim chatarashchaiva is actually two verses. Lakshang sthan jiva jatishu brahmadbi purushai prapyam manusham jimmaparyayat. Tadap yabalatam jata tesham atmabhimaninam varakanam manashitta govinda chadanadvayam. One attains the human form of life after transmigrating through 8,400,000 species by the process of gradual evolution. That human life is spoiled for those conceited fools who do not take shelter of the lotus feet of Govinda. So this is an injunction. Let's not fall into the category of conceited fools. Let's take shelter of Krishna in the form of his holy name. So the devotee who wrote this is also lamenting those who've forgotten Krishna. So then he gives an instruction to the world. And there's no verses that I could come up with for this. It's, just fill your ears, just fill them with the name of Sri Hari. Just chant the name with all sincerity. Just sing the name, just sing the holy name eternally. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. And there's one very common phrase that we're all familiar, that's the purport of this. Hari Bol! That's what Hari Bol means. Chant the holy name of Krishna. And finally, this wonderful last verse here. It makes this world, material world, appear like bits of straw upon the ground. Resplendently it reigns supreme, divinity in sound. It's filled with transcendental bliss and peerless purity. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. So I picked a verse out of the Padyavali that relates to this. He says, Brahmandanam koti sankhyadikanam aisharyam yat chaitana vamaranksha avibhutam tanmaha krishna nama tanme sadhyam sadhanam jivanam cha. This is also an anonymous verse. If the opulence or knowledge of many millions of universes were clustered together, they would hardly equal a small fragment of the glory of Krishna's holy name. Krishna's holy name is my life. It is the goal of my life. It is the means I will employ to attain the goal of my life. Nice verse. And brings to mind the beautiful verse at the beginning of Briha Bhagavatamrita. Sanatana Goswami says, we can all chant together. Chaiti chaiti nama ananda rupam morare vidimita nija dharma dhyana pujadi yatnam katamapi sakadatam muktidam praninam yat padamamamitam ekam jivanam bhushanam me. Oh glories to Lord Murari in the form of his all ecstatic name. If any living being puts aside such tasks as meditation, ritual worship, and social duties, and even once takes the Lord's holy name, that name will grant a liberation. The holy name is the greatest source of eternal pleasure and is my very life and my ornament. And finally, this verse, one other verse, one phrase that we know where it says, it reigns supreme, resplendently it reigns supreme. So what does Lord Chaitanya say in that first verse? Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. He's saying this Nam Sankirtanam will be victorious all over the world. We may not see it, but if you've been in this movement for like 40 years, you can see somehow or other, yes, it's spreading. The chanting of the holy name is spreading and will continue to spread and be victorious. And then finally, Namachan tamani krishnas chaitanya rasa vigraha purnak shuddho nitya mukto abhinadvan naminamina. The holy name of Lord Krishna is like a chintamani gem. That means that it transforms your consciousness. It turns it into gold. Just like what Prabhupada would call a touchstone, a philosopher's stone. So, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha is the very form of the mellows of devotional service. Everything is there because it's non-different from Krishna. Purnak Shuddho Nityamukto. It is a complete process of meditation. You don't have to go anywhere else. Just perfect this chanting and your life will be perfect. Shuddho, ever pure, cannot be contaminated. We become purified by chanting and eternally liberated because the holy name is none different from Krishna himself. So that's my little meditation on chanting. Thank you for your attention. If there's any discussion, we have a few minutes we can discuss. Hari Bol, Pushkar Ji, do we need the mic? Go ahead. Say again?
Well, that's the character of Krishna, actually. But, you know, you were talking about needing a shloka for that, but I was just stealing part of another shloka in the Chaitanya Charita. I think it's Ancha 9.
Okay.
Yatam, Yatam, you know, Chintitam, Chintitam, Bhaktas, Chintitam.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Always think.
Always chant the glories. Which are not different from the holy name.
Any other questions or comments? Oh, yes, Vishakha, Mata.
You were mentioning that there are many tirthas throughout the world where devotees are worshiping or where Prabhupada went. So, is there a difference, and if so, what is the difference between those tirthas and Vrindavan?
Yes. Maybe you didn't hear Dhruva's class. Dhruva Maharaj had a wonderful class in which he discussed that. And the actual places on this earth where Krishna appeared or engaged in his pastimes have a special potency, as it's mentioned in many places, I'm sure you know. Just by going there, even if you don't, you just take rest once in one night in Mathura and you're liberated and so many things, I forget all the benediction, but it's extraordinarily powerful. Even if you're a rascal and you die there, okay, you have to take another birth in Vrindavan as a monkey or a hog or something, you know, and then you go back. Because the land itself has been saturated with Krishna's spiritual energy. And he's imported it from the spiritual world, this aspect. Of course, it's covered to the material eyes. We can't see it. The more pure we are, we can see it. Now, the tirthas that are made, they're also very potent. But if someone is completely a materialist and happens to die in the boundaries of our land here, I don't think he goes back to Godhead, because it's not a place where Krishna himself actually came. But because the pure devotee blessed it, and deities, and there's so much service going on here, it is a place where one can come, and if he's receptive, to receive Krishna's shakti and become a devotee. So these tirthas and are, you know, sometimes they become covered over. Even the Vrindavan becomes covered. But still, that specific spot of land has a special potency. That's why Lord Chaitanya took such trouble to go there. He himself is Krishna. Of course, he's teaching us. But there is an importance of actually going and spending some time in the original Dham. So there's a difference. That's my understanding, which I got straight from Dhruva Maharaj. And I think he's right.
Before Lord Chaitanya.
1 second, Prabhu. Yeah.
Before Lord Chaitanya came, there weren't any deities in
it was covered.
World.
Yeah. In Vrindavan.
And the Western world.
And the Western
there
world.
Any deities before Lord Chaitanya came.
Okay.
And then Prabhupada came to the Western world and delivered all these beautiful motifs, all these beautiful deities.
Thank you. That is being worshipped. So, is it any difference between that Krishna that walked in Vrindavan and that Lord Radha Shyama Sundar that is here now in front of us?
Ultimately, no. They're both absolute. But still.
Doesn't make this a tirtha as good as Vrindavan?
I don't want to say as good. I mean, if you can take full advantage of it, you can go back to Gaura right here. Right? But
makes them equal.
But by the same token, there's something, the special potency to those places where Krishna actually walked and engaged in his pastimes, whether it's Mathura, Dwarka, Vrindavan, like that. And this tirtha could be covered, you know, God forbid. But I mean, who knows what'll happen? At that point, this Raman Reti, that, you know, will no longer be known as Raman Reti. It'll be just another corner of Alachua, Florida, and it will no longer, you know, be as potent as Vrindavan was when Lord Chaitanya went there and was completely covered, because that also became completely covered, right? But still, there was Radhakund, right? And so there is a qualitative difference.
I mean, I can't help but think, just like with Sakshi Gopal, he was a deity in the temple, but he did walk.
Yeah.
So it seems like the deity is non-different from Krishna himself. And so that, you know, we're just fortunate. This is the holy Dham.
Okay.
That was my understanding. But, you know, I don't want to keep arguing the point.
Yeah, this is farther I can take it. I don't really have any quotes from Shastra on that.
I think I have some.
Okay,
I'll bring
good.
Them tomorrow.
Good, good. Okay.
Uji, thank you for coming to Ramana Reti. You know, I feel pain when you describe such a beautiful verses of the Mahamantra, because I feel like a donkey. Because even though the liquid nectar of the holy name is so available, you know, I don't have attachment for it, even so many years trying to, you know, grasp what we just chanted. So there is any hope?
There's always hope. We're each flying our own plane, you know. I mean, the directions are there. It's not a mystery what we have to do. Trinadapi Sunichena. It's right there in the Shikshastika. Trinadapi Sunichena, Torarapi Sahishnuna, Manina Manadena Kirtani, Exodati. Anadanang Najanang Nasundarim. Lord Chaitanya, you know, it's exactly like the play. The play was great. You know, you cannot taste the nectar of Krishna consciousness. You cannot be saved, what to speak of taste, until you're ready to jettison some of these attachments. You know, that's what's keeping us bound here. So at a certain point, that's another thing that happens as you get older. They automatically go, you know, they automatically become more and more absurd. Let's put it that way. You know, you can see. And just, okay, enough already, you know. But what the wonderful thing is, if you notice, is that Krishna consciousness itself is always fresh. In other words, whether, you know, I'm 67 now, I'm going on 68, but I honestly say that, you know, the kirtan has not become stale. All a material thing. Yeah, okay, you know. Pretty stale, and they're going to get staler as your ability to enjoy them goes. But if you can fix your mind and your heart on Krishna, there's obviously, you know, it's transcendental and purifying. So that's a direct realization. So the thing is, we have to go for it. You know, we can't be dilly dallying. I mean, just look what happened in Nepal. We should a moment of a prayer for all of the individuals there and the devotees also. Huge earthquake, thousands of people died, you know. The temple in Kathmandu is safe, I just read, but in the congregation, many of the relatives, it's just a disaster, you know. Any moment. I mean, I live in Southern California. You remember what it was like, you know. No, the beach, the sun, but every so often, you know, the ground under your feet, you know, and you realize, whoa, you know, there's no security here. So, this is what, you know, this is what it takes, really, is to be to cut attachments and simultaneously become attached to Krishna. You know, this is why I love the writings. I mean, just a little drop. I just put my toe in the ocean of the writings, you know, but of the Goswamis. But the beauty of the Sanskrit is does justice to the beauty of the subject. You know? So the prayer, you know, the devotee prays. Tabajayati nanda nanda tabajayati nanda nanda napada da bindo da bhakti makadanda chayan marudi lavagri mukti sukham shukti tamadhi. It says, all glories, tabajayati nanda nanda napada da bindo da bhakti makadanda. All glories to the makaranda. Makaranda is that sweet liquid in the flowers that the bees turn into honey, you know, and call nectar. All glories to the nectar of intense devotion unto you, Krishna. Even a drop, even just a drop of that kind of devotion can make the glory of impersonal liberation as insignificant as an oyster. I don't know why he picked the oyster, but that's the word he used. But how, you know, it's a big oyster. And that's one verse out of thousands. Or he prays. Now here's a nice prayer. This is in Raman Reti here. We should be absorbed in Vrindavan Leela. So he prays, Rupa Goswami, Purushottamasya Patito Gokula Chatitamate Na Kutaseka Prema Madandasyandam Tanotamama Chittamakanda. So may the mango tree of my mind be sprinkled all around with the nectar of Krishna's Gokula pastimes. And then it will sprout these mango flowers, which will then drip the honey and the honey-like nectar of pure prema for Krishna. This is such a wonderful expression. So you can pray like that. Well, you come before the deity. You can pray. Queen Kunti. So many pray. Svayame anandi vishaya mati madhupate sakrit ratamud vahatara dha gange baugamadan bati. O Madhava, please ever fill my mind with thoughts of thee, not any other kind. As Ganges torrent flows into the sea, let all my love flow constantly to thee. You can pray like that. This is the problem. We have the problem. I got too many attachments. I can't taste the nectar of the name. Okay, take it to Krishna. Right? Or one that I try to offer every day when I greet the deities. Pashupala vadenya nandano vadame tang moharati he yuvam. Bhavatu panayo bhave bhave. Bhavatore vipatam bhujeshame. O Radha Krishna, children of the best of cowherd men, the single boon I beg from you again and yet again. In all the countless births, my endless sins will make me meet. Let all my love flow toward your luscious, lustrous lotus feet. You can pray like that. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for your talk tonight. I'm overwhelmed with your quotes. First, I want to thank Lord Chaitanya for appearing in our age. Secondly, I want to thank Prabhupada for appearing in our age. Thirdly, I want to thank you for appearing in our age. And now the last question I will ask is, somebody told me that Lord Chaitanya does not appear in some Kali Yugas. Can you kind of give me a highlight as to if there is a reason why?
Reason why? Yes, Lord Chaitanya appears, as does Krishna, once in a day of Brahma. And he appears in the Kali Yuga that follows the Dwapara Yuga that Krishna appears in. And as to why, that I'm not sure. But again, we should be thankful that we have. What is it? You know, it's 8,400,000,000. What is it like? It's two times a day of Brahma, right? Once in a day of Brahma, that's 12 hours, 4,320,000,000. Double that, and that's the number of years that Brahma. That and once every 8 billion so on years. Krishna appears and Lord Chaitanya appears. And here we are, 500 years. What's 500 years? It's like a snap of a finger compared to that, less than that. So how fortunate we are, as you say. So now let's take advantage of it. That's why it is said in the 11th canto, the second verse after that famous verse, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam, proving that Lord Chaitanya is the avatar of the age. It says, Kaling Sabhajayantyaya Gunagya Sarabhaginaha Yatra Sangitane Naiva Sarva Svarto Bilabhyate. That those who are really intelligent, who understand the essence of things and are truly Aryans, they worship this Kali Yuga. Calling this Kali Yuga. Because in this Kali Yuga especially, just by congregational chanting of the holy name of Krishna, all of one's actual goals in life can be achieved. The Svarta, this word Svarta is very important. The goal of the soul, not the bodily goal, can be achieved. So how easy it is. He's made it so easy. So we're so fortunate to take advantage of it. And as far as the other Kali Yugas, well, you know, there's other processes and devotees will come. But this is the age Lord Chaitanya has come. We're somehow connected to him. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.